We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Darvish 2, yeah. Where you've been expecting this turn of a corner of you, Darvish, and now it's almost like watching on television, his confidence seems to be sky high. What's it look like from ground level?
Same. Listen, he is so in the moment right now. He is just getting the ball, and he's pitching. He's not overthinking it whatsoever. He's so confident.
I guess that means that we're taking off or something.
I think that's shotgun start. That tells the golfers to begin, and it's breaking our eardrums. Oh, there we go. Okay.
All right. So I guess we're ready to start.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That was yesterday on the show where we were rudely interrupted by, I don't even know if I want to call that an air horn. I don't know what was going on there, but it was loud and intrusive. But Joe played through it, and we finished the segment, and it was good as per usual. Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We are at the Budweiser Brick House here. The Brickhouse Tavern, everyone has been served lunch. Folks are getting their beers. We have a full house here. We are waiting for Derek Holland and Nick Castellanos to show up. They're going to hang out with me until 1 o'clock. I got some other stuff, too, including I need to get a report on what's happening with the St. Louis Cardinals. So I'm going to get that at 1 o'clock. My buddy Michael Kim from the Stadium Network is going to join me because he is an unabashed Cardinals fan, so we're going to discuss that. There's plenty of other stuff that we got going on the show too, including some of the stuff that we were able to get through yesterday as far as the football stuff. I'm glad that I threw out a podcast of my thoughts about Cedric Benson passing away, and I was glad to see that so many people downloaded it. The LoHo Daily podcast that I do for radio.com sports is there and available. And it was difficult yesterday to try to get through some of that conversation, and it was cool. I wanted to add something else. Hey, Tony, can I call a quick audible here so before we get Castellanos and Holland settled?
Red seven.
Since people didn't hear Jason McKee necessarily in the 12 o'clock hour, I wanted to pass along. He passed along a really funny story yesterday when he was talking about Cedric Benson as a Bengal playing the Bears when the Bears went to Cincinnati. Here's what he had to say about Cedric being ready and waiting for the Bears.
So here's the story. So the funny thing about that is we talked that week of the game, and he kept texting me and calling me and saying, I cannot wait to play you guys. I can't wait to play you guys. And I would always say, I'm messing with him. He ain't going to do anything. You know, I was like, I want you to do good, but I want us to win the game. He's like, Jamie, I cannot wait. He was so excited. And the funny thing is, when we got to the team hotel, Cedric Benson was sitting in the lobby. So I was like, oh, man, this dude needs business. But to see him go out there and perform the way he did that day, you know, we were all mad because we got blown out by the Bengals that day and probably played our worst game in the Bears uniform. But, I mean, it was good to see him do really well.
That was a pretty cool story from Jason McKee talking about Cedric Benson and Cedric waiting for the Bears as they were getting to the hotel in Cincinnati. Okay, so our on-deck luncheon series that we do here, brought to you by the fine folks of Xfinity and TimberTech, I'm really happy to introduce our guest to you. And if you've been someone who has watched our show or listened to it when we do the on-deck, and I haven't told you guys this yet, we like to bring each of you out. Like, yes, you guys are here together, but you're both individuals. And we want to make sure that we show love individually. So we put together opens for both of you. So why don't we start first, Tony, with our open for Derek Holland.
Derek Holland.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Big strikeout. Another big hook from Derek Holland.
Oh, hey, guys. What you guys doing over there with the radio?
Hey, there's a Derek Holland on the mound. This guy, I tell you what, he's got a tremendous curveball. Can't believe he's all the way from the Netherlands. This is awesome.
Unbelievable. He's a right-handed southpaw. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
I wonder if he celebrated National Left-Handers Day the other day.
And swing it. Derek Holland. An exclamation point to start this ball game.
I'll just take it from here.
Okay.
Hey, we got C.J. Wilson Chudon out here, thinking about what he's going to throw. We got Mike Napoli giving the signals here. Holland is just waiting. Here comes the delivery. Holland is swinging a miss. That was back to the L screen.
You're unbelievable.
Derek Holland.
Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Holland. Nick, did you like that? Was that cool, or were you feeling the open for Derek there?
Hold on, let me figure this out.
We got a first timer.
Yeah, I'm a first timer.
Yeah, it was good.
That was good. All right. Were you happy with it?
I love the song. That was my that's what I'd walk out to when I was batting in San Francisco. So it was pretty funny to hear that you guys picked that. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Our production staff does a good job, and they also did a good job with this for Nicholas Castellanos.
Nick Castellanos.
Castellanos drives one in the air, deep left field. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Nicholas Castellanos gives the Cubs a 1-0 lead.
I'm really excited to have the opportunity to get back to the postseason. The fact to be able to show up to meaningful games and to want to win series and to, you know, play in front of these fans and this atmosphere in Wrigley Field, I was excited for that.
1-2 to Castellanos, hits one to deep right field. Going back is Piscotty at the track. He looks up. It's gone! A home run! Nicholas Castellanos gives the Cubs the lead.
He's reminding us what hunger looks like. You know, that's this guy really, he's happy to be here, obviously, to play in this ballpark, and he wants to get to the postseason badly, and I love what he's doing. I've talked about it every day, conversationally, his work, everything about him indicates, let's go. I want to play in October, and I love it.
Nick Castellanos.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nicholas Castellanos. All right, first things first, I'm a Lawrence. I don't go by Larry. You're Nicholas. Is it Nicholas or is it Nick? Which do you prefer?
Nick's cool.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad you both are here. Thank you for being a part of it. And you want to make sure you call someone by the right name, you know, like, you know, Dutch Oven, like whatever you want to do, like you have to make sure that you do it right. Did you know that was his Twitter handle?
I mean, now I do.
There you go.
Let me start off with asking you guys, well, what was the experience like in Williamsport?
Dutch Oven?
All right. For me, I thought it was pretty cool. I've never seen any of that stuff, never been a part of it. Obviously, I never got to experience that in the Little League. I never made it that far. So it's pretty cool to see what these kids go through and, you know, the atmosphere that they have. The field itself is beautiful. I mean, it's a great setup. It's an electric atmosphere the entire time. Those kids are having a blast, and the way that they interact with each other, too, it's really cool. It's what they're teaching, you know, the good sportsmanship, everything. There are a few things that, you know, it would be a little different that I would do.
Like what?
If you give up a home run, I don't want to see my kid out there high-five the kid that just hit it, because I feel like that's – I get it. We're doing the good sportsmanship, but sorry, son, you just gave up a homer. Like, we're not doing that. We're trying to beat these guys, not celebrate with them. So – there's a few things I think we take a little too far with it. We got to remember it's a competition. You know, we're competing against each other. We're trying to see who the best is. And I think some of those things get kind of lost because we're trying to keep such a good atmosphere, which is great. I'm not taking anything away from it. But at the same time, we got to have that competitive attitude. We don't want to lose that.
What did you think of lining up and shaking hands afterwards?
With the Pirates?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, we just beat the snot out of them. Sorry, kids. we just, you know, we took it to him. I mean, this guy started it off for us. I think that was the best part. So, I mean, it's, I mean, if we were on the other side, I'm sure we wouldn't have liked it either. But I get what we're doing.
Nick, what did you think of Williamsport?
I mean, I think it's cool, you know, because we were those kids at one point. And, you know, just I think to be a reminder that we are still those kids is a good thing. And it was good until we had to shake the Pirates' hands after the game.
So you didn't like that?
I know. I got two fastballs up and in. I didn't want to shake their hand.
Yeah, I can imagine that it can be difficult considering how hot you've been since you joined the Cubs, that there are people that are going to try to push you off of the plate. So are you kind of hardwired to be in a foul mood when that happens, and like it maybe hits another switch for you when you know that guys are trying to get you off your game by going up and in?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I don't want to shake your hand after it.
He's got a point.
He's totally, I mean, he absolutely has a point. I get that for sure. How good did it feel for you guys? And I know that both of you are kind of newcomers to this, so this is not like all of it. You're not wearing all of this, but how good did it feel to win a road series? And before I got this stat yesterday, and I have Joe Maddon on my show every week. We sat down yesterday. Before yesterday, the last time the Cubs won a road series, Kawhi Leonard was in the Eastern semifinals. That's legit. Like, that's...
I mean, that's not really legit. We don't want that.
No, I'm like saying that. The stat is legit, not, you know...
I mean, me personally, coming over here, I had heard, you know, the difference between the road and the home. And then I also got to hear the difference between night and day. And, you know, as somebody who's kind of superstitious, I just kind of jumped on it and was like, look, let's not even worry about that. Let's try to do something different. So each day, or actually each night game, I would try to do something to loosen it up a little bit. So that way we wouldn't have the, you know, the thoughts of that. But to get the road win, trust me, we celebrated. I mean, we were all high-fiving and going crazy when we found out, you know, we could win. We beat them. You know, once it was done, we had a good time on the field with it. And then, obviously, like I said, we did shake their hands, so that was good for us, not for them.
What's this been like for you, where the team has struggled a little bit on the road? And it, actually, you know, Theo, Jed, and Joe have all said that picking you up is something that they wanted to do to help this team on the road because of your professional at-bat. So, how big of a deal was it to get that win on Sunday night against the Pirates and win the series?
I mean, any game that I go out and play, I want to win. You know, I don't really care if it's at home, if it's on the road, if it's at Williamsport. To me, it's all the same. You know, score more runs than the other team.
How'd you develop that? Like, 'cause you... I want to try and loosen you up, and I've been trying to figure out like how this is going to go, because you seem like a real serious dude, and I know because this guy was with the White Sox that he's a clown. So like being able...
You got a point. So,
like, I have my spots where I'm a clown, you know, and then I guess I have my spots where I'm serious. I mean, I don't know. It's just whatever mood I'm in. I don't know. My girlfriend's right there. She tells me I'm moody all the time, so, you know, it's whatever.
Is he moody? Oh, she said baseball makes you moody.
There you go.
Okay, I mean, I get that, and you're definitely, but you're doing great. What's it been like for you, this experience of, things have been rough for the Tigers for the past couple of years. So coming to the Cubs, what's this been like for you?
It's been a good opportunity. You know, I'm in a pennant race. This is why we play baseball.
And you weren't in a pennant race either, and now you're in one.
Yeah, I haven't been in one for 3 years, and so it's been a little frustrating to, you know, go to the playoffs, and all of a sudden you got this drought, and then you're trying to find ways. You go to a team, the White Sox. I know you guys don't like them at all, but, you know, they were in a building phase. I know. Hey, you can boo. It's okay. I'm not there anymore. We're good. But you go through the building phase, and that's the frustration, is you want to be back in the playoffs, and then – you know, you go to the Giants and it's kind of the same thing again. And, you know, we were struggling. Then same thing again this year before I got traded here. We were struggling. All of a sudden we start picking up heat. We're doing good. And then all of a sudden they start throwing players away. So I was like, okay, this doesn't make sense. But to get to be with a team that has unbelievable fan base, they're in first place, there's tradition here, there's a lot of history here, it makes it so much better, and it just livens you up even more. I mean, I guarantee he's got more energy than he did before coming from the Tigers to come here. I mean, you go from a team that's not winning to now you have a chance to go right back to the main stage, you know, the World Series, and take it there. So, I mean, it changes everything for you.
Nick, what was that moment like? Because Detroit's a big ballpark. They've had some rough times over the last couple of years. You were playing your hardest, but it still wasn't working. There have been players that have come and gone from that squad. So when you got the news that you were being traded, what were your feelings?
Don't lie.
I mean, I guess the best way that I could put it was you're underwater for a really long time, and you got to breathe real, 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 real bad. And then finally, like, you break the surface and you're able to just, that's kind of what it felt.
So you feel like you can take a breath and you can find yourself back in a position to help a team maybe win a World Series. Did it liven you up, as Derek said? Did it give you more energy?
For sure. When I got traded, I think our record was 30-73. You know, it sucks when your passion becomes an occupation. And it got to the point where that's what it was, you know, where you know we're not going to win. Our whole organization is in a rebuild mode. So it's not like there's any promise where we're going to be able to compete. So it sucks when you're showing up because you got to go to work. You know, you got to go to work and you got to make sure you're doing everything you can to stay above the atmosphere. So to be able to come to an atmosphere where, like, we're here to win, we're here to compete, we're in it, like, that's why we play baseball, right?
He's 100%.
So what was that moment like when you find yourself in Wrigley Field in front of a packed house for the first time in a long time?
You remember that thing about being underwater?
That's when the moment when you...
There you go.
You got up above the water.
There you go.
What about you? I mean, I know that, look, I'm a Southsider. People who listen know I'm a White Sox fan. But it's been difficult over there for the past few years, and getting people to the ballpark is difficult. So to go from that to obviously other places and then be the home team here, what's that like?
Man, it's unreal. I mean, you're walking through history when you're walking through the clubhouse, the dugout. You get out into the field, the fans are just electric. I mean, it was loud. My first appearance here, I was so excited to be on the other side this time, you know, and to come out of the bullpen and just hear the fans, you know, getting excited and get that last out of that inning, the place erupted. I mean, it felt like playoff atmosphere to me, because, I mean, you got to think of, and I mean, he could probably easily relate to this. We've been playing in stands that were dressed like a seat day, basically. I mean, there's nobody there, and all of a sudden you get to come here and it's everybody's screaming, cheering. You got passionate fans that are in it from first pitch to the last one. It's just a whole different animal, and it makes it that much better when you get out on the field and you can feel the energy that the fans bring.
Do you guys have to be careful of it overwhelming you, that you're not allowing the energy from the crowd to make you try and do more than you actually can do?
This is going to be my cocky moment.
Okay.
I've been in the World Series. I've pitched one of the greatest games in Rangers history, and I've got to feel the electric of the fans. It's easy for me now to hone it in and not let the noise make me do something different when I'm out there on the field. So I think it comes with the experience. I'm not taking anything away from him by any means, because he's an outstanding player. He's been in big moments as well. It's just when you've really felt it, when you get to be in the dance, you know, the World Series, the whole thing, I've lost it twice, but I've got to feel that energy, and it just fuels me even more. And to hear those fans, that literally felt like I was right back in that moment again. That's the energy that these guys, there's no words, like, no matter what I say, it's, to me, that's the closest I've felt to being back in the World Series, because I had an actual fan base that's just killing it out there. There's nothing against the fans that I've had anywhere else. It's just, they sell out. There's people there. Everybody's there, and they're in it from the first pitch to the last.
That's pretty crazy when you're talking about July and August games.
That's what I'm saying. The fans don't realize, like, you guys don't realize how important you are to this club. You guys bring it every single day, whether we're struggling, whether we're – kids are here.
And we're on the radio.
Really good. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. whether we're doing really good, really bad, whatever it is, you guys are there from the very beginning to the very end. And no matter what I could say, I guarantee you every single one of those guys in that clubhouse will tell you how much energy it brings to that clubhouse, especially a guy like me and him. We just come from teams that were in last place. And to get to be in this atmosphere, you fans make this that much better for us. You have no idea. So please keep that going.
Nick, what's your perspective on what Derek had to say?
I agree.
Man, I can talk. I can talk, so I know it's going to be hard for him to top that. Man of a lot of words.
I really like him already. Like, I really... Like, even though it's kind of antithetical as a talk show host to have a guy that's like, yes.
It's true.
I like it because he's all business and...
But I do want to add, like, one more thing. Like, when you guys...
Of course you do.
I know. Sorry, man. I'm going to talk. The fans, like, you guys... I know you guys are so passionate, but even the players ourselves, like... Now, for me, you know, I'd get to come to this club. I was excited to see all these guys. But then you get a guy like him. He's coming and he's helping that lineup even more. Like, I'm not saying just because he's here. He's been destroying things for us since he's been here. See what I mean about the crowd? They get into it. But that's, like, this is what you guys want, and we're trying to bring that to the table for you guys, and he's one of those guys that does it. And I think that's huge that the Cubs would go out and they would go pick up some players. I'm not a key player. I mean, I get to help out. That's awesome. But this is a real key player. This is what it's all about.
To speak to what you're talking about, and I don't mean this to embarrass you. These are just the numbers, Nick. Since Nick Castellanos has joined the Cubs, this is his slash line. 348, 392, 710. So that's an on-base plus slugging of 1.102 with 6 home runs, 8 RBIs in 17 games. You're like, okay, Lawrence, you just spit a lot of numbers at me. What do they mean? Well, the average on-base plus slugging in the game is 757. The fact that he's at 1.102, pretty impressive, even with a small 17-game sample. We need to take a timeout. We got to take our first break. When we come back, I host the Manager's Show with Joe Madden every week. He had some things to say about Nick Castellanos. I am going to share that with him and with you next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Stroke ready for the 0-2 pitch to Cabrera. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. And the Cubs have beaten the Pirates and won the series 2 out of 3. Their first Road Series win in 3 months.
The great Pat Hughes on the call of Sunday night's game. It was a lot of fun. You watched it. We talked with the guys about it. My guests are Derek Holland, Nick Castellanos. We are at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, which is right here on the corner of Clark and Waveland, right in Gallagher Way. If you have not come out here, it's awesome. Although I would say don't hang out in Gallagher Way right now because it is storming quite a bit. And this would be a good time for me to tell you that if you're listening on 670 AM and you happen to have HD in your car, you might want to go over to 104.3 HD2 because then you will hear us in solid crystal FM and you'll hear the bass in my voice. So it doesn't happen as much on AM as it does on FM. We are presented today by TimberTech. Go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. All right. I had Joe Madden on every Tuesday. Yesterday he was on the show because he had his golf outing yesterday and you guys were all sleeping because you guys got in really late. But obviously with the numbers that Nick is putting up, I asked him about you, knowing that you would be on the show today. Here's what Joe Madden had to say about your impact on his team.
He always throws out a good at-bat. I mean, there's times he's chased on occasion like everybody else, but he's thrown out more good at-bats than anybody. A couple of games ago, we had that bad game, Kyle's game in Philadelphia, and I took everybody out but him. So he came standing next to me before his next at-bat, and I said, "How you doing, man?" He says, "Listen, I'm fine." He says, "I want to play all nine innings here because by getting one more hit, I get one more hit closer to 3,000. And he doesn't just say that. This kid really believes this stuff. Before every game, he looks at me in the eyeballs. We do the fist bump, and he says, "Happy opening day." He treats every day like it's opening day. What a wonderful way to go through your Major League Baseball life, because that's what happens sometimes. You forget what it's like when you show up for the very first day and what that feels like. And if there's a way you could even trick yourself into recapturing those moments, do it.
So you hear that from Joe Maddon saying that about you. How does that make you feel?
I don't know, kind of like I want to cry.
And he actually is tearing up a little bit. Why does it make you want to cry? That he appreciates the fact that you appreciate the game?
I don't know. It just does. It's easy for something that we love to get looked at like a business, you know? And I feel like that sucks. And that, not just in baseball, but just like in everything in life, you know? So it just makes me feel good to hear him say that.
So, Derek, what's Joe like as a manager?
Well, first, I can't even look at him right now because it's going to make me cry.
This is
how I'm crying on the radio show, right? Damn.
this is how I know that Nick's a badass and you don't want any smoke with him, because he clearly has got his emotions like right here. And the fact that you're willing to share, man, I appreciate you for that, because that takes a lot of courage. And I think more people need to do that. I think we need to, especially as men, I think that we need to share our emotions a little bit more than what we actually do. Because when you hold them in, then there's like a big explosion and no one wants the big explosion.
Well, that's happened before. You can ask Jess.
Moody, right? Especially about baseball. But when you see your teammate react, Joe has that effect on people, man. I've always said that Joe's superpower is managing people. He understands people really, really well.
I would agree with that big time. I mean, as you can see just now, I mean, just to hear the compliment and the way that he does go about his business. I mean, I've seen it firsthand myself. I mean, I've played against him. I've seen it. He carries himself very well. And to not only, the thing is, I think as a player, when you hear it from somebody else, it hits a little bit harder. And especially if it's a manager, you know, just like of Joe's status, somebody that's got that kind of the pull and everything, I think it hits even more. Again, I got to look at you more. And I just looked over and I saw it.
Hey, man, I might start crying
too, man. There's nothing wrong with it. And it just shows, like, the effect that he has. If you can make a guy like him, a superstar like this, break down like that because of how well you compliment him and make him feel, because it's true. What he said is unbelievable. Like, just to hear the fact that I'm not out there when they do their handshakes. I come out and do my own after. But to hear that he treats every day like opening day, that shows you how passionate he really is. I mean, I'm not, like, again, I don't want to look at him because it's going to make me ball out, but it's just one of those things that this guy is very passionate, and what Joe does, he brings so much to the table to every single player. He gets everybody to liven up, and when they go out there, everybody is prepared every single time. There's not one person that's out there that is out there to fail. He's got everybody where they need to be, how they need to be, and prepared and ready to go. That's the most important thing.
Nick, where does that passion come from for the game?
I don't know, you know, but I think that I don't try to just do it in the game. I think I try to do it in everything that I do, you know, because whatever I'm doing at the time that I'm doing it is the most important thing that I'm doing, because that's all that I have, you know. So whether it's and again, like I fall short, you know, in certain things, but whether I'm with my son or I'm with Jess or I'm with, you know, I'm with whoever I'm with, or I'm working out or whatever, that's what I'm doing. And I do the best I can to just involve myself 100% in whatever I'm doing at this point in time. Like right now it's this show and I just ended up crying in front of all you guys, so it was pretty sweet.
Well, hopefully the next thing I'll ask you will elicit happy feelings like that. When did you know that it was real, that you could be a major league player? Because all of us go through the, you know, they tell us all eventually that we're not able to play anymore. But when did you know, like, wow, I might be doing this for a while and I'm pretty good at it?
Since T-ball, man, really. You know, this I always knew this was going to happen. I don't know why I knew this was going to happen. I just did.
What about you, Derek? When did you know?
Well, I grew up following my brother's footsteps, so I was always doing, as crazy as it is, the imitations of all of his players, whether it was their batting stance, how they fielded through, whatever it was. I tried to copy that, and then it continued, and in class, I never wrote my name out. I signed it. And it's funny, but there's more to it. So my Spanish teacher, when I was learning Spanish, she would get so mad at me for doing that. And I would tell her, like, she would say, well, first she'd be like, sign your name, Spanish name, which was Dominique at the time. And she was like, write it out. And I was like, no, I'm signing it because I'm going to be a professional athlete when I get older. And everybody would always, the thing that's funny, and I don't know if it's still this way, I could ask the kid, well, they're not old enough yet, but ask the kids, is there's always somebody doubting you every single time. And my teacher was one of them. And then I also had another story with the military that they would always show up at our school. And that guy laughed right in my face. So it just became motivation. The guy was, and it's nothing against our military. I support our troops, no doubt. But I was walking through, and you know how they always have the guys at schools, and they're saying, hey, come join the military.
The recruiter guys, yeah.
So he came over, and he goes, what are you going to do with your life, son? And I said, well, I'm going to be a professional baseball player. Guy looked at me, laughed, and he goes, you know what your chances are? I said, yeah, I do. And I like my chances. And then the funny thing is, the guy, right up, well, I appreciate that. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit over there. I can't look at you still. But I, like, after he said that, he was like, well, I'm just telling you right now, you have a better chance of making something out of your life by joining the military. I said, okay, I appreciate it. He's like, I'm telling you, son, you're not going to make it. He's like, oh, okay. So I have a sign, and my dad still has it to this day. It's on a little piece of cardboard, and it says, Army says you can't. I use that as motivation. The mind is a powerful thing. When you put your mind to something and you push yourself every single day, nobody's going to stop you. You have to do the work. And that's the thing I always tell kids when I do my camps, all that stuff, is it's how bad do you want it? Nobody else can do anything. Everybody that's in here, nobody can push you. Only you can push yourself. They can give you the advice. They can tell you to go do this. Or they can put you down and tell you, no, you can't do this. At the end of the day, it's all about you. It's what you want to do and the way you want to get there. So you got to outwork every single person that's there. And I use that every single day. I always tried to outwork one of my friends, one of my teammates, whatever it was. Every single day at the field, I made sure I did it. I wasn't even a pitcher. I was an outfielder. Now, granted, I still can't hit, so it's okay. But those were the things that pushed me.
I agree with that, with everything that you said and the fact that you can't hit.
I'm not doubting it. I mean, it's true.
I teach at DePaul University a semester a year. And I talk about this with the students all the time, the concept of dream killers. There's a lot of dream killers out there, and you'd be surprised.
Well, the dream killers are the ones that are not living their dreams, so they're envious of the people who are chasing theirs.
I want to add, even to add to that, I'm a big guy on social media. I have a lot of fun, okay? And I'm only using this example because it just happened.
I was going to ask you about this.
And it's so funny. I give up my first home run to a lefty, by the way. I just want to throw this out there. Since 2017. So for all those people that want to jump on me because I gave up a homer to Harper.
On an inside pitch.
On an inside pitch. It's not even down the middle of the plate, which people assume that was too. The thing is, like, now I kind of lost my train of thought.
Dream killing.
Yeah. So
internet.
People get on there, and it's when something bad happens to you, there's so many trolls out there. And that's why I have so much fun with these people. They wait for moments like that. So, for instance, I gave up the homer to Bryce. We lose. Yeah, I know what happened. But it's funny to see when people try to reach out, and it's like, you really think you're going to upset me? Remember, I'm living my dream. You're too busy trying to hate on me because you couldn't live this dream. That's the thing that people like to do, is they want to try to put people down because they couldn't do it. The thing is, at the end of the day, anybody that's here, like you kids right here, I hope you guys go do what you want to do. You guys got to strive for what you want. at the end of the day, nobody's going to slow you down as long as you push for it. That's the thing. Quit listening to the haters, everybody that's going to be out there talking all this crap, all that stuff. Do what you want to do and do what makes you happy. Don't worry about what they do. They're going to try to put you down because that's just how they are. They're upset. They're jealous.
I can't end the segment unless, Nick, you agree or disagree with that statement.
Well, I mean, I don't have Twitter just because of the fact that I'd get in trouble if I had Twitter.
So he agrees.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There it is. All right, we need to take one more time out, and we'll have more with Nick and Derek. We appreciate you listening here to our On Deck Luncheon Series. It's presented by TimberTech. Go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. Back after this on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Nature Valley. I am Lawrence Holmes. It's our On Deck Luncheon here at the Budweiser Brick House, right in the shadow of Wrigley Field. Cubs and Giants tonight. The rain is going to, looking at the radar, it should be gone by 6 or 7 o'clock. So expect an on-time game for the Cubs and the Giants tonight. I am sitting here with Nick Castellanos and Derek Holland. We are having an incredible conversation about all sorts of stuff, including baseball. And I know that we haven't talked a ton about, like, you know, the actual, like, race in the National League Central. So let me do some fan work here to get you guys' thoughts on it. Obviously, when it comes to playing and trying to get to the playoffs, if you could have a season like, was it the 96 Mariners, where you win 116 games, like, that's great. There's something about a pennant race that I really like. And I know that
me too.
Okay, I was going to ask you guys, like, the fact that the Brewers are right there, the Cardinals are ahead by half a game going in tonight. There's something about it that I like.
I like that.
Why do you guys like it?
No, I was saying I like it.
The booing?
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, I like the pennant race too. It makes it interesting for baseball. And the thing is, you want to be, you were talking about this a second ago, I'd rather not be the team that was winning 116 games. I'd rather be the team that gets hot right at the last minute. Because that's when everything takes off. I got beat by a team, two different teams in the World Series. Both teams were hot. Both teams were wild card teams, I think. So, I mean, I'd rather have the team that is hot at the end. That's it.
Nick, why do you like it?
Because it's fun.
There you go.
I mean, like, I can go into a very elaborate description on why it's so much fun.
Please do. Go right ahead, Mr. Castellanos.
All right.
Let me gather myself here. Because this is it's. I guess every single game matters, you know, and not like matters because the game is at 7 o'clock and it's a major league game. Nah, man, these games matter. And to me, when you have an environment with games that matter, because every game that you play is matter, whether it's a spring training game or the games that I was playing with the Tigers, every game matters. But the fact that the environment says they matter more, it's fun, you know, and I enjoy it.
How much do you guys pay attention outside of, you know, the standings to the other teams? Like, are you looking at highlights of their games or no?
I mean, I like keep in touch with my friends. So, you know, I keep tabs on the Giants. I've kept tabs on the Rangers. And I've kept tabs on the White Sox because, it's, you know, those are my friends. I play with those guys. I want to see how they're doing. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm more focused on us. You know, I want to see what we're doing, make sure that we're getting the leads that we need, getting, you know, out in first place where we should be. You know, I pay attention to that big time, but at the same time, I do want to keep, you know, tabs on my friends and see how they're doing.
Do you pay attention to what the Cardinals and Brewers are doing?
Nah.
Oh, those teams? No.
The first thing I do when I get to the clubhouse is turn off all the TVs.
You're so that dude, Nick, man. You're so that dude. I love it. I absolutely love it. Speaking of which, we have our text screen, 67011. People can text in. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this, because in the hour that we've been here, no offense, Derek, it's Nick fine. Has turned into everyone's favorite cup.
Lovely.
So
you're going to make him cry again.
I'm not going to even read all the stuff, all the nice things that people said, unless you want me to read the nice things that people said.
No.
Will that make... All right, let's go and read... No, I'm just kidding. Have you thought about whether what you're going to do since you're going to be a free agent?
I think for... Oh, you're going to look at me now?
It's safe. No. This one's good.
I think for me to worry about something as selfish as my own free agency would be an injustice to my teammates inside the clubhouse.
That was a great answer. Let me ask you both before I get you out of here. More than just it's going to be more wins than the other team, what do you guys think it'll take for you guys to hold off the Cardinals, hold off the Brewers, and win the division?
Well, for me, I want to say this quick, or I mean not quick, but before him, but everything is, like, to me, I feel like we haven't shown the best of our abilities yet. The pitching's all coming together. Starters are starting to click it back together. The offense is, you know, some guys aren't quite there yet. You know, they're getting there. We've had to deal with some injuries, so getting some guys back is going to be huge. The thing is, this game is all about being contagious. And when one guy takes off, then the rest take off too. So, I mean, it's all – the thing is, the fans, we're still – we're in first, right, Ty?
Half a game out.
Half a game out. Okay.
Forget you guys were off yesterday. St. Louis played. Yeah,
so we're still tied. The thing is, they still haven't seen the best of us yet. That's what I want the fans to realize, is there's more that we're going to be showing them. It's just a matter of clicking it all together, and it's about to take off. I promise that.
I've been saying for the past couple weeks, and I really want you guys to make me look good. I've been saying, you know, they've got a 12-4, like 18-5, like in them, where they could get some distance. So, you know, whatever you can do to make me look better.
That's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
We got makeup or anything?
No, I got it in my bag. Trust me, for sure. What about you? What's it going to take, Nick?
To play every game like if it's opening day. That's it.
Guys, I want to thank you very much for this hour. This was really a lot of fun. I salute you both for coming up here and sharing as much as you have. And I think you do a great job on Twitter handling everything. So
thanks, man. You got to have fun. That's the thing. It's like I said, people are always going to try to bring you down. It's when you respond and surprise them, and then they tell you, "Oh, I didn't mean for you to see that," or "I'm one of your biggest fans." That changes everything. If you want to keep hating, keep hating. But I know one thing. We're going to continue to ride out and have fun.
Nick, good luck for the rest of the year. Congratulations on the great start. And congratulations on doing something that's not very easy. Like, you
like to cry on a TV show, on a radio show?
This is radio, bro.
Jeez.
I mean, we actually do have video of it, too. But
perfect.
But... to come to a new city, obviously you were going to endear yourself to people with the way that you play. I think that what one of the things that we accomplished is that the people who are listening got an opportunity to understand what type of man you are. And I think that that has a lot of value and will have a lot of distance, not just for Cub fans, but how people can see how one can present oneself and be vulnerable in public, and people will respond to it the way that these people have responded to it, the way your teammate responded to it. And I thank you sincerely for being able to share like that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Castellanos and Derek Holland. I need to take a break, but not before I thank the folks at TimberTech. We appreciate them coming out here and being a part of this. And thanks also to Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. We'll be back after this on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.